শ্রীরাম প্রভুপাদ কি ইস্কন বিবেকের প্রতিষ্ঠাতা আচার্য জগৎগুরু শ্রীরাম প্রভুপাদ কি জয় বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজক আচার্য অষ্টোত্তর সদস্যের শ্রীম শ্রীরাম ভক্তি সিদ্ধান্ত সরস্বতী গোস্বামী ঠাকুর শ্রীরাম প্রভুপাদ কি অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি নামাচার্য শ্রীরাম হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি
All glories to the Sri Samadvatis, all glories to the Samadvatis, all glories to the Samadvatis, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri Dhamma. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सा বালা এবা পুরুষ মাতামহম অনুব্রতা অধর্মাশোভবম মৃত্যুম কেনা ভবদ অধর্মিকা সবাল এব পুরুষ মাতা মহামানুব্রতা অধর্মাশোভবম মৃত্যুম কেন ভবরধর্মিকা সবাল এব পুরুষ মাতা মহামানুব্রতা অধর্মাশোভবম মৃত্যুম কেন ভবরধর্মিকা Sa, that, bala, child, eva, certainly, purusha, male, mata maham, maternal grandfather, anuvrata, a follower of, adharma, of irreligion, amsha, from a portion, udbhavam, who appeared, mrityum, death, kena, by this, abhavata, he became, adharmika. Translation. Although the queen had no son, after eating that food, which had the power to produce a male child, she became pregnant by her husband, and in due course of time she gave birth to a son. Purport. Among the 10 kinds of purificatory processes, one is pumsavanam, in which the wife has offered some prasad, or remnants of foodstuff, offered to Lord Vishnu, so that after sexual intercourse with her husband she may conceive a child. Text 39. That boy was born partially in the dynasty of irreligion. His grandfather was death personified, and the boy grew up as his follower. He became a greatly irreligious person. Purport. The child's mother, Sunita, was the daughter of death personified. Generally, the daughter receives the qualifications of her father, and the son acquires those of the mother. So according to the axiomatic truth that things equal to the same thing are equal to another, the child born of King Anga became the follower of his maternal grandfather. According to Smriti Shastra, a child generally follows the principles of his maternal uncle's house. Naranam matula kama means that a child generally follows the qualities of his maternal family. If the maternal family is very corrupt or sinful, the child, even though born of a good father, becomes a victim of the maternal family. According to Vedic civilization, therefore, before the marriage rites takes place, an account is taken of both the boys' and girls' families. If, according to astrological calculation, the combination is perfect, then marriage takes place. Sometimes, however, there is a mistake, and family life becomes frustrating. It appears that King Anga did not get a very good wife in Sunita because she was the daughter of death personified. Sometimes the Lord arranges an unfortunate wife for his devotee so that gradually, due to family circumstances, the devotee becomes detached from his wife and home and makes progress in devotional life. It appears that by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Anga, although a pious devotee, got an unfortunate wife like Sunita, and later on a bad child like Vena. But the result was that he got complete freedom from the entanglement of family life and left home to go back home to Godhead. So we can see as when we're dealing with the material, means or any activity, you could say, you're going to have the efficiency of the activity. But then there's also the overall results. Now, in the efficiency of an activity, because the activity is being performed with the senses, in contact with the sense objects, then we expect a result that is also perceivable by the senses, right? But because consciousness is also involved, mentality is also involved, that means part of the result will also be on that subtle platform. Right? It'll have the consciousness. So we see between these verses here that by following the Vedic rituals of purification, then the senses and the sense objects, that action, they perform the yajna purush comes, gives them some sweet rice. The sweet rice then, by taking it, the purification that it gives then the wife is able to conceive a child. And notice here it says, from her husband. Because sometimes it appears it happens without this. But specifically in this case, with the husband. So that purificatory rite is there. And the result, they have a son. So activity was performed, pious activity. And the pious result was gained of a son. But there is also the element of consciousness. Because here, I didn't notice that the question came up. Either the question was there, that how is it that King Unga, a great devotee, had such a demon for a son? Or it could be that the speaker, knowing such a question would arise and not wanting to get diverted from the progress of the story, gave the answer as he's explaining it, right? Because there's other points to be discussed as opposed to this. Like we see in the Bhagavatam, no one asks, how is that Prahlad, who is such a great devotee, one of the Mahajans, is born to the greatest demon in the universe? And that the Mahajans are the greatest devotees. How is this greatest devotee born to the greatest of demons? No one asks the question in Bhagavatam. It is asked in the Nisringa Purana, though. So sometimes it's asked, or how is it Vritrasura was a demon but such a great devotee, and Indra, who's supposed to be a devotee, was not as mature in his devotional understanding. So there it's between just the devotional service. It wasn't a worry so much about the, you know, environment, the situation. So here, to avoid it or to answer it, then this point is being brought up. So, because we might say, well, he did everything properly. How did he get such a bad son? Because we're under the illusion that if we do everything properly on the physical platform, that will produce all perfection on all other platforms. But it won't. Right? You go into a store and you have your money, you want to buy your product. And so you go to the counter and you give them the money, you get the item of purchase. Now, that is because you gave the money, you got that. Now, you deal and you have some attitude or this or that, you'll have gotten what you wanted, but the other person will also behave not nicely. Or you go in and very pleasantly, oh, how are you today, this, that, blah, and you pay your money, you get the item, and they're very nice and pleasant also. So, the senses and the sense objects will get you a result in senses and sense objects. But that which is done on the subtle platform will get you a result on the subtle platform. And that which is done in consciousness will give you a result in consciousness. Make no mistake. Never be foolish and think, I will do the activities of the senses and therefore everything else has got to come with it. No. It's a different payment. It's different. And if you think they're the same, you will be frustrated. Not maybe. We're using here, you will be. Right? So, one may say, well, I'm chanting, I'm going to Mangalarti, I'm doing all the activities. Great. But then why is these things happening to me? But then look at it. Where is the problem? Right? Remember, politics are not necessarily, the attitude that's there is not something physical. Right? It's someone else's attitude and consciousness. So, where your problem is, look for the source in the same category. Don't look somewhere else. If you do, then what is the result? This Krishna consciousness doesn't work. I'm following all this religious rules. I'm not getting the material facilities and that I expect. There's something wrong here. And then we'll get frustrated. So what we will do, we'll go on endeavoring for material facilities, but not in Krishna consciousness, on our own. And we'll label it, we're just being practical. Simple. This is because we're not actually looking at this and learning from this. That's why this story will be here, one of the elements. The king's doing everything materially perfectly, but consciousness is involved. Right? The subtle, the nature is involved. So he did the proper activity, he got the result, he got the sun. But what kind of sun? That's based on the consciousness, that's based on the mentality. Right? So it's not, well, he did all the Vedic things and see what kind of sun he got, and someone else, he didn't do all those fancy things, and he has a nice sun, so therefore I don't need to follow any rules and regulations, right? That's the loophole we're looking for. Right? That's the one. Right? If you're coming from a very pious, nice background, then disregard this point. You know, if your background happens to be a little bit more Malecha-y, Yavani, then it's very prudent point. Because loopholes are all we look for. Yes, do this, do that. No, but there's this exception way over there. You know, and it's very theoretical. And basically, I've never really seen it happen, but you know, I have intelligence and I thought of it, so therefore that makes it more substance. So that disproves everything that you said, so therefore I don't actually have to do all that. I can go on whimsically doing whatever I like in the mode of ignorance, which really suits me, and not be controlled and regulated by all this shastra and guru and sadhus and all this kind of stuff. Why can't I just do what I want? End translation. Right? So we have to be very careful that we know what we're dealing with here. So the point is he performed the Karmakanda Yajna. He had the piety to do that, material piety. He got the results. Right? His wife had the material piety also, therefore she got the results. He's a man, she's a woman. They were able to produce a child. So that aspect is all there. The practicals are all there. But the problem is her father being death personified, then naturally daughter takes on the father's qualities, son takes on the mother's qualities, so the son turned out to be like the maternal grandfather. This was not considered. Right? So the king, what kind of piety he has? Remember, a demoniac person who is wealthy, well-situated, and all these different things, powerful, those elements are there because of piety. The other stuff that he's doing that's nonsense is because of his mentality, because of his consciousness. That's what makes him a nonsense. Right? Because if it's only you follow pious activities, then you're good, and if you don't, you're not. Then there's a lot of people who are quite nice, but are real demons. Right? Demon doesn't mean you have to be, you know, ugly and nasty and teeth sticking out and all that kind of stuff. Like that. Because we'll notice even within the universal, you know, category of demons, you have the daityas and the danavas. Danavas are our stereotyped concept of demons. But danavas, they're very sophisticated, right? They're very successful materially. They do very well. Even the danavas, the better ones of them, they do quite well themselves also. But you have the sophisticated, dress well, talk nicely, follow the Vedic culture, they do all that. So we have to understand is that gets that. Then the mentality and the consciousness gets the other side. So someone's a demon, not necessarily because of what they're doing, but because of their consciousness. So someone, because of the consciousness, only engages in sinful acts. But another, because that's all the more he wants materially. But some people want more than that. Some people want more than what you'll get by a sinful act. The sinful act will only give you a limited amount of material benefit. And whatever benefit you get is quite temporary. So if you're a smarter demon, then you're going to follow pious activities, because those will get you more. Right? That will get you more. So, like that. So, we have to, so we see here that somehow or another, he didn't look into this aspect and see the mentality of the family. So his family and the nature of his family and the nature of her family were not matched. Right? Because generally we're looking at it, you know, we like. Oh, I'm attracted. You know, that have to experience that love and all these different kinds of things. Which is not a bad concept. It's good as long as it's a complete package. Because otherwise, the masculine and feminine principle, when they're together, it generates fire. And so there's going to be some experience. And that experience then, in basic, is what someone's looking for. But that's that experience. And then there's the rest of your life. Then there's coming home, and then living and eating and paying bills and changing diapers and paying your taxes, and there's all that. Right? So that's what you live with for 30 years. The other part, you know, give you 6 months. Knock yourself out. Right? And then what? So here they have the training, they have the piety to act properly as a couple, but the mentality of what they're looking for in a child is different. Right? King Anga went to the forest. We don't hear that his wife went with him in frustration. Right? So she didn't seem to mind that her son was an absolute demon. Right? This was in the family, hey, you know? Like that. So it's not, they're not feeling bad. You understand? So, that's why then, in both of these, and Prabhupada's commenting on these processes, Vedic processes that are there. One is that they're efficient. The first one shows that they're efficient if they're done properly. Proper priests, proper consciousness, proper rituals, they work. The second thing he's pointing out, the picture's a little bit better than, you know, finding that little bit of fire. Because the point is that fire can either, you know, nourish a relationship or destroy it. Right? Without the fire, you can't cook. But you can either cook a very nice preparation or burn everything. Depending upon your expertise. You can't blame it on anything else. So, one sees is that there's a process here that you're looking at that it's bigger than just that attraction. There's, can the couple live together? So in this case, they could. But then it's bigger than that. You have families and you have children. Right? Generally, means the concept that having the children is there. But what is the nature of the child? How many people ask? According to Ayurveda, a husband and wife are supposed to discuss the qualities that they're looking for in their child before they attempt to conceive one. How many do that? You just take it for granted that what I want, then she wants, and what she wants, he wants. It's just automatic because everything's perfect in the world, right? But the reality is if you're not thinking about it, it's different. So in her mind, right, she likes her father, a son like her father would be great. Right? And so, and he's thinking of a son, you know, like people in his dynasty, you know, the great kings and all this, and, you know, protecting the peoples and doing all. So he's thinking of that son. And he, and she's thinking of death personified. And so what do you get? A king that's like death personified. It's scientific. It's direct. It's not, it's not, it's just, at the time of death you think of Krishna, you go back to Godhead. You don't, you become whatever you thought of. At the time of conception, whatever you think of, that's what you get. It's not, it's not mystical, it's not rocket science, it's really straightforward. That's all. So here is, but he didn't look at all these things carefully enough. But, you know, he's just happy, went on nicely, pleasantly. But one has to check. What's not, one is not paranoid, it's just a fact. Right? Right? You want to cook a cauliflower sabji, check in the basket that there's a cauliflower there. If there's not, you know, there's eggplant, then you're not going to get a cauliflower sabji. You know? It's just that, so you don't get all paranoid and all this and that, you know, become an astrologer so that you can check yourself because you can't trust anybody. And, you know, that's over the top. Right? It's simple, straightforward stuff. Right? Planets here, you know, it gives this result. Planets there, it gives that result. That's all. It's science. It's hard science. Right? Your birth chart, now that's soft science. But where the planets are, you know, and whether they like each other, that's hard science. That's all. So, now, why would this happen? Because he's a great enough devotee that by this happening, he won't doubt the Lord. He will surrender to the Lord, give up everything, and go back to Godhead. Right? They weren't such a great devotee, then it might not have worked out this way. It might have been materially made more nice. Like Prabhupada says, the karmis you deal one way, the devotees another way. Right? You want to have that faith, then Krishna will arrange it in such a way that you can cultivate it, develop it. You don't want to have that faith, then Krishna will arrange it that way also. Right? Same situation. One, it goes unfortunate, one person thinks of Krishna and becomes more surrendered. Another person thinks, oh, this isn't working, you know, Krishna's not my man, so, you know, I'll try somebody else. So it's up to you. Krishna gives you the faith however you want it. You want to have faith in demigods, it's Krishna that has to give it. You can't develop it yourself. They can't generate it. Right? No one else can generate it. Only Krishna can. You want it, he'll generate it for you. So therefore, want him, you'll get him. Right? King Anga got him. Vena didn't. But Anga did. Right? So by the Lord's grace, then this arrangement happened. Right? There was some mistake. But as far as Krishna consciousness, worked out great. Because remember, is that the material world is as useful as it is to get you out of the material world. That's all. Right? Does that make sense? That's the point. You are in the water, and a boat comes along, and they throw you one of those little, what are those little rings? You know, those lifesavers kind of things. Hmm? Yeah, so is you one of those, and then you get in that, and then they're able to take you out and save you. Okay, now once you're on your boat, you walk around with that all the time. And then when the boat comes to the, you know, to the dock and you get off the boat, then you carry it with you. Right? Everywhere you go. Go into the business office, right? Big board meeting, go in, you know, put that down, put your computer down, you know, put your phone down. You know, it's all, and everyone's like, what's with the lifesaver thing? You know? Yeah. So, one could say, no, he's always prepared, right, you know. You know, look at what happened in Japan. Now, if you had had one of these, you know, when you were on the top floor, when the tsunami hit, you would have just ridden off into the sunset, you know. But no, those guys drowned. They didn't have their lifesaver with them. So, see, he's smart. He's prepared. Right? You know, it could happen to anyone, anywhere, you know, anytime. But. So in that analogy, then, the material world, it's value is only in getting you out of here back to Godhead. It doesn't have any other value than that. So as long as it's useful, it's applied. And when it's not kept. You don't keep it. Right? As long as it's useful, it's kept. When it's not, it's given up. So the idea, no, it's got to work out materially perfectly. Why? Who cares for material perfection? We're looking for spiritual perfection. Material perfection comes along the way, great. But that's not the main thing. That's not the important element. The important element is the consciousness, the mentality is proper. So therefore, then whatever material situations come up, then that's what we engage in Krishna's service. Yeah, so, and here, there are laws of how the material energy works. You follow them, then results are gained. The Vedas establish what things work in the long run, immediate and long run. You follow them, you get the results. But more important than the results, the mentality. More important than the mentality is the consciousness. Those are correct, it works. And so when you're looking at a situation, make sure your view is big enough. You know, and in this case, husband and wife, if that's all the farther you see, it may not be big enough. Because husband and wife include kids and include families. If that's not all seen, there'll be a problem. Right? And ultimately then, by Krishna's grace, you know, things happen to devotees. One should see Krishna in it. One should take advantage to use it to remember Krishna. Because other than that, there is no value to the material world. Right? There's no value to a reflection in the mirror except what it can tell you about the original. That's it. Right? You get up in the morning, you look at the reflection in the mirror just because the reflection itself is so great. You know, it doesn't matter about your face, right? It's just the reflection is so fabulous. I'm really amazed by the reflective ability of it. Right? No, you're worried that its value is that you can see your face. And where do you deal? You deal with your face, not the mirror. Right? The makeup goes where? On your face or on the mirror? Right? It goes on your face. So that means the only value of the mirror is its what it can do in the reality. So the only value of the reflection, the material world, is of what value it can do is situating you in the spiritual world. That's it. It has no other value. If you think there is more value, welcome to staying in the material world. Because that's all it takes. You want to be here? That's all it takes. Have faith in it. You'll be here. Guaranteed. You don't have to worry. Oh no, am I going to go back to Godhead when I don't want to? You know? You won't. Don't worry. You'll stay here. Like that. Any comments, questions, or... Yes. You want a microphone? Ah, here comes the microphone. The Mayapur TV microphone.
You were saying how consciousness affects consciousness.
Yes.
On the same level, on the same category. Is it possible that one's consciousness can affect another person's consciousness, as in the case of King Anga, if his consciousness were higher? or if his consciousness already was higher, would that not affect the child given?
Because would it not affect the child given? Why means why are they having a child? Why is Anga having
continue the dynasty?
Right. So, and how spiritual is that?
Not very.
Not very. So you add, he's a devotee, so in continuing the dynasty, he would like his kid to be a devotee. Right? And then you add to that his wife thinking her father is a real good role model. So that's 50%, and then at least another 25%. Right? So 75%, 25%. Now you're saying higher, but there's also volume. You know what I'm saying? Right? The stock is really worth a lot of money. Right? So it's very high. But the volume is they're only trading one stock. How much profit you'll make? Not much. So volume is also important.
But could consciousness affect?
It can affect. But the point that's being made here is since you're in the material world dealing with all these material things, then when you're dealing on that material platform, don't leave it up to your consciousness. You know what I'm saying? You're getting married not because your consciousness is on the topmost platform. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, don't leave things to chance that suddenly you're going to become a pure devotee and your wife is going to become a pure devotee and your kid's going to become a pure devotee because you want to get married and have kids. You understand? So therefore, the spiritual, we know the science, chanting, avoiding the 10 offenses, proper association with the devotees, like that. So we're doing that, but at the same time as those elements that are the material distractions, then they work by also their own laws, you know, which are, you know, can be supportive of the spiritual, but unless you connect them and see them, they won't be. You know what I'm saying? In other words, means these kartals here, you know, they're made of brass, right? I would like to say bell metal, but they're made of brass, okay? So, therefore, that quality is going to be there, right? Now, that I use this in kirtan, that's because of my consciousness, right? The dead matter is just what it is, and it can do what it can, right? You know, if it's, you know, this one I could probably use for, you know, putting a few screws in, some really big ones. This one, I don't think so, but you know what I'm saying? Is that you will be able to, it has its nature, it's going to function in that way, so it's just a matter of seeing that, because you're talking about a very long time. You know, if you haven't come to that platform, then, and you're directly living with yourself and have direct influence on yourself, don't then think that your son you'll have more greater influence. You know what I'm saying? If you haven't made yourself into a pure devotee, then a good chance you're not going to make your kid into one. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you, by giving that, the kid takes it and he becomes greater, like Dhruva Maharaj. But that was Dhruva Maharaj's, you know, determination. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, hello. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions how traditionally people make the match through astrological calculation.
I think it's the fan, but can't guarantee.
And also, Srila Prabhupada says sometimes there is a mistake, so there is a problem. I observed that there are quite a few astrologers in ISKCON, and sometimes they have this tendency to kind of plant the seeds of destruction in a marriage by telling people, you have two marriages, and also people think, well, I have two marriages, I have to divorce because this is what the stars ordered me to do. Could you comment both on the mentality of the client and the mentality of the astrologer and the whole process? Thank you.
According to the astrological rules of etiquette, at any one sitting, you're never supposed to say more than 50% of what you see. Right? And so you choose that 50% of what actually the person can directly get benefit from now. So, in other words, if you're going to be an astrologer, that's nice, but unless you also know something about the devotional process and the social structure and etiquettes and all those, you know, culture, how are you going to apply it? Because what you're looking at, you look at money, you look at, you know, family, you look at positions, these are all situated within culture. So if you don't know the culture, then it was not enough, right? You're good at math, you have a good memory, then you can do the astrological element, but unless you know the culture, you won't be able to apply it. So, you have that aspect, what to say and everything. Two is then you have to actually understand what these things mean, because one shouldn't be too proud that one knows everything. Sometimes because it is math, they become too proud. But the problem is there's so many layers below. It means unless you can study it to five levels, you'll never actually be so good. Because what's obvious doesn't necessarily mean that's what's actually going to happen. Because there's the obvious, then there's the situation that's in, then there's the influences on that situation. So unless you can see all of that, it's not going to be important. Why I'm mentioning this about the culture, because generally speaking, if there's the element of more than one marriage, traditionally then, the point is, it's a marriage. That's all. So like in South, then they have a marriage. They marry a banana tree. Right? And then after marrying the banana tree, since that didn't work out so good, then you marry the person. Like that. And so that's there, you know. It can also mean emotional dependence. So it doesn't necessarily mean actually a marriage. You know, so things like that are, you have to understand the mentality of the person, so what by telling them they're going to be committed. Because the point is, if they're not committed to the relationship, then you don't get any benefit. You only get benefit for what you're committed to. So even let's say there will be two relationships. Now, if the idea of getting married in the first place is to engage your needs in Krishna's service through the institution of marriage, unless you're committed to it, it won't actually become devotional, and it will not be successful materially either. So if the astrologer says something that would therefore compromise someone's commitment to the process, then better they take up like shoveling cow dung or something more useful than being an astrologer. Because if you break down commitment, then you generate whimsicalness, which means the mode of ignorance. And the astrological process is never meant to generate ignorance. If it does, then the person is not qualified. That's all. It's a responsibility. You want to do that, then it's there. You gave the advice, it didn't work out, you're responsible. So therefore, only deal with those things that you're worth taking the reaction for. Right? Gurus take responsibility. The parent takes the reactions of the child, the teacher of the student, right? The king of that, the astrologer of those they give advice to. So if it's just a business, you're screwed. You know, one, you're going to lose your ability, and two, you're going to be overwhelmed by sinful reaction. So that's why only Brahmins are supposed to do it, because the sadhana affords them the ability to overcome the sinful reactions that come to them from the process. Right? So it's like any of the priestly processes of teaching, astrology, all these different things. You get reactions. Right? Music. Person gives a massage. Anyone knows a little bit more. At the end, they get rid of the energy. Otherwise, you leave it. You get a headache. You get a hand. You know, something hurts. So, and some, you're giving massage and you get reaction. Why you wouldn't for something more like this? But it's just taken so cheaply, because on one side, material world, oh, it's cheap because it doesn't matter. It's illusion and all that. At the other side, we really like it because it makes our money and our position, our facility, and we take it very seriously. So this double mentality of the material world, it will not give any real proper benefit. Right? So the point is how are they going to be committed to this? One is, what does that mean? There's going to be a second relationship. And how do they know that that second relationship isn't already happened? You know what I'm saying? Because the point is there are eight kinds of marriages. So Gandharva, were just mutual attraction, that's considered one of them. It's one that you want to try to avoid, but it's one of them. So if they've had such a relationship before that they're dealing in that way, that's already done. Right? So many different elements. So if they're confident, no, this is going to come in the future. The point is unless they're committed to the present one, how are they going to advance? So then by telling them in such a way that they don't commit to this relationship, and so then it naturally falls apart and you can say, oh, it's fate, what can you do? Then, because that concept is for fools. Idiots do that. Oh, it's fate, so I don't do anything. No, you still make your endeavor. Fate means the result is not in your hand. That's in the Lord's hand. But you still have to make the endeavor, and you still have to have proper understanding. Just because whatever will be, doesn't mean you don't do anything. I mean, the person is singing the song, right? You know, and people are listening and paying money. So activity is going on. You know what I'm saying? So to say that, oh, then we'll do nothing, but it just means we'll do nothing in this area, we'll do something somewhere else. You do nothing means you just do nothing. The Python Sado, now that's someone who does nothing. He's not worried about the future, whatever will come, he lays her down on the side of the road, he doesn't do anything else than that. Then, okay, but if you're busy doing this and that and are making arrangements, then I don't buy it. You know, why is it, in some area you don't accept it, another area you do? So, therefore, it's not just a matter of fate. What did you do about it? You know? It's in your karma. Okay, so, but, you know, do you want to improve? You want to develop? That's the situations you'll be in. So how do you want to deal with them? How is Krishna involved? So if the astrologer can't give them how they can be best use their present situation in Krishna's service, then better they don't say anything. Because otherwise, the result won't work out so good. Because then, okay, the result won't work out there. But then, did they check other things? What about suicidal tendencies? You know, what about other aspects? You know, give one example of a good astrologer. There was this boy and this girl. They wanted to get married. Really loved each other, you know, and really got along really well. You know, real one of these, you know, make a movie out of it, romantic stories kind of thing. So they came to the astrologer and said, you know, we want to get married, but, you know, we kind of want to know what's the situation, because the problem was, is I think he was Muslim, she was Hindu. And their community wouldn't buy this at all. And it was going to be trouble. So they wanted to know how much trouble, what kind of nature of the trouble and all that. So the astrologer looked at it and he said, do one thing. It's a very difficult thing. You know, this is a very big point. And right now, to make a decision on this, astrologically, is not so good. The planets aren't favorable. Wait for 3 weeks before you make a decision on this. Because whatever decision you make now will affect you your whole life. But after 3 weeks, then the planets will be different and the results will be much easier to deal with. That's all he said. So they happily went away and weren't going to address the issue for 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, the boy died. So the girl came back. And she said, "Why didn't you say he was going to die?" Says, "If I had said that, then who knows what you would have done? You know, you guys would have done something crazy or killed yourself, so many different things. But by this, then that affection you had for each other lasted for that 3 weeks. But then after it was the scene, this is not going to work out. Right? You can't marry someone's dead. And so all the problems you are worried about of this family interaction and loss of everything is not there. Right? So that discretion to see what will keep the focus and everything proper, that's the responsibility of an astrologer. If they don't have it, better do something else. Go flip burgers or, you know, do something, you know, more worthwhile. Is that okay? Like that. It's a big responsibility.
Right. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Oh.
Prabhuji, as you mentioned that King Angad was a pious devotee.
Yes.
But there was some amount of material consciousness in him because he wanted a child like a king. He did not want a child.
So, I mean, what else would a king want for a son?
So, this is what my question is, that Krishna deliberately arranged things in such a way so that he did not get a child which he wants. Because if he would have got a child according to his desires, then he might have been attached to that child.
Right.
So this is the mercy of Lord in some way, that he did not give him the intelligence to get a child according to his desires.
Yes.
So that he did not get attached to him. So in one way, sir, Prabhuji, Krishna wanted that he should raise his level of consciousness above the
right.
This is what?
Yes, that's the point. I mean, one of the points, yes. Last point, Jnana Gamya, in the back. Sorry?
Who is death personified? Is this Yamaraj or is this...
it's Yamaraj.
It's Yamaraj.
No, excuse me. Yamaraj, death personified, there's Yamaraj, but there is a personality of death. So he sits in Yamaraj's court. That I know of, he's one of the two. I can't remember who they are. Death and one other. Who's the other? Time. Time and death. They are associates of Yamaraj. Right? So then, you know, all he does is, you know, that's his job. Because Yamaraj deals with, you know, after someone's died, then Yamaraj deals with them. But death personified, he's the one that deals more directly when it comes to the death process. Like that. Is that okay? Okay. Okay, so. Time I am. To time. Yeah, to death. Means death and they're Krishna's potencies. Time and death are Krishna's potencies. These are the personalities that manage them. Just like the smooth running of universal affairs on an administrative platform, that potency is given to Indra. But it doesn't mean that Indra himself as an individual doesn't have his own consciousness. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, there's a potency of death, you know, personified, but the person who gets that spot, one, they must be pious on one level to have such an office and such power and influence, but at the same time as to be very comfortable with that as an occupation, then there must be also some elements within the consciousness that, you know, you don't mind that, you know. You know. Is that okay? Okay. So I'll end here. What's this? Oh, okay. I'm not sure if you get a mic. Here's a mic. Can you just...
It's a question from the internet.
A question from the internet. You're doing the internet for Big Brother there.
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
Okay.
So Mahatma is asking, if a bad consciousness can affect a group, you were talking about consciousness can affect. So she's asking if it can affect a group, just like a bad apple. It sounds like a simple question, but she's asking also how it would affect if you mixed amongst non-devotees or with devotees, if the same thing applies. And I think that from an earlier conversation, that also it may apply in the field of preaching, how to keep away from that consciousness penetrating your own.
Okay. Means, see, as you're talking about association, it means, here the example is that Unga's wife, she would value the qualities of her family. Right? So that is association. But when one's going out preaching, one's not valuing the materialistic needs of those you're preaching to. Right? One will endeavor to find them out, you know, something prominent, so that you have a ground or a basis for a commonality of interaction. But it's not their value in it, it's not your value in it. They value it that this is actually going to make me happy. We'll value it because this is the basis for discussing Krishna consciousness. Right? So association. So the consciousness there, meaning that we're worried that our consciousness will be affected, it's that, what do you see? You know what I'm saying?
Now, what in a situation amongst devotees, because we are all mangoes of different levels of ripeness,
yeah.
So how are we affected by less ripened mangoes? Do we also...
It's the same thing as, why are you associating with the devotees? What do you see? So if you see the good qualities in the devotees, that's what you're associating with, right? So, in other words, you're looking at potential, because Rupa Goswami does mention swajati. You associate with those who are like-minded. Means one will interact with any devotee, but who you're close with, who you're friends with, who you're intimate with, those will be those who have a similar mentality. Right? You're not obliged that you have to be intimate with everybody. That's a modern impersonal concept that everybody's the same and everybody's got to deal with everybody the same. So therefore, there's no variety. You know, but the point is every soul is different. So therefore, their conditioning is going to be different. So you're going to associate with those who have a similar kind of conditioning and determination to overcome that conditioning. Does that make sense? And more important is that determination to overcome. So then you might get a more eclectic group, but their consciousness of determination and Krishna consciousness is similar, so they can work. But for just general day-to-day things, there also has to be some common basis, even in conditioning. You know what I'm saying? So they're together. Right. Someone is the conditioning of a manager, and someone who a conditioning of someone who needs to be managed. They go together, or managers can go together, or you know these kind of things. There has to be something common. Otherwise, friendship is based on commonality. Does that make sense? So, in there, if you see the good qualities of all the devotees, then you can associate with anybody. If one, you know, is not able to see on that level, then where you do see that appreciation, you associate with them more. and the qualities that aren't so useful, you don't worry about. Because the point is, you like somebody because of their qualities. You meet somebody, you like them, and develop a relationship. You don't know everything about them. But the point is that quality is enough to generate that relationship. So if they're determined to be move forward in Krishna consciousness, therefore their background doesn't really matter to them, so why it should matter to you? Does that make sense? If that background does matter, then that becomes added to the nature of the relationship. So if it's something you can relate to, then it continues. If not, it won't go any farther than it has. Is that okay? Little thingy on the bottom. Yeah.
So in order to become a pure devotee, one has to become detached from family.
One has to become detached.
And if so, I don't see practically or in reality how this can happen. If you're affectionate towards someone,
how would one become advanced in Krishna consciousness or become a pure devotee if there's still attachment in one's, you know, family dealings and other things like that? There's two aspects to look at. One, that is acknowledged because of the nature of, because if there's attachment on that platform, automatically the situation it puts one into is basically, it reduces it reduces the idealness of the situation to go back to Godhead, right? Because the point is it's attachment to Krishna that takes you back to Godhead. So that you're working in a field of attachment isn't really the problem, but because the attachment is on the material platform, that's the problem. So now if you can see that these attachments are engaged in Krishna's service, that doesn't mean just you say it is because your own attachments, your false ego and all these things. You know, all that aside means in reality, what are the considerations? So how does one judge that? The point is it's the results. That's where you judge. Are the results for Krishna? Right? You're attached to the situation, you're attached to the interaction. That no one's really complaining about. I mean, of course, there's always people to complain. It's the results that the complaint is about. That makes the difference. If the results for Krishna, then everything before it, it becomes supportive. Now, whether it's pure devotional service or it's connected to Krishna, you know, through karma yoga, jnana yoga, like this. You understand? So, the principle of attachment is not there. One has to understand is that what's making that potency of attachment? What are you actually attached to? Right? Is that dead matter that you call a family member, is that generating the attachment? Is it actually? Is that perfect combination of earth, water, fire, air, and ether that I'm just so attached to? Right? Such a good combination. I mean, it's rare to find such combination, right? You know, so it's like, is that what we're attached to? Is that what's generating the attachment? No, it's the soul. And that particular, so that life and all that, that's the soul. But at the same time is that particular quality of that manifestation that we're attached to, that's Krishna's potency. So what we're actually attached to is Krishna's potency in the soul. Right? So we're actually attached to Brahman. But if we don't know it's Brahman, then it's illusion, so then it's material. If we know it's Brahman, then it's liberating. Right? And if you understand that it's Krishna, and therefore as a person you want to please, then it's devotional. You understand? So the field isn't a problem. Because someone's a grihastha doesn't mean that they can't make dynamic advancement. But they would have to actually be conscious of it. It's not automatic, right? The car is engaged in Krishna's service not because it's doing carness. It's because you're driving it for Krishna. The car is going to do whatever it does whether you drive it for Krishna or not. So if you're conscious that it's being driven for Krishna, you're getting that benefit. You're not. It's that simple. You know, we just take it automatically, you know. I've done one thing and therefore everything else I do is automatically connected. No, it doesn't work like that. You know what I'm saying? You have an investment, you pay attention to it, it grows. But it doesn't mean automatic because you paid attention to one, all the other nine investments are automatically developing. No, you pay attention to them, they grow. You don't pay attention, they don't. Right? The Nrisimha came out of the pillar. Why? Because he was focusing about God in the pillar. Otherwise, it's just Krishna's potency there in the pillar that's holding him up. Because he just said God's everywhere, making everything. So it's his strength that makes the pillar work as a pillar. So he says, so God's in here? Yes, he's in there. He's in there as the strength. But no, he wants to, you know, as a person he's there. You see him, then he's there. But if he's not, his potency takes care. Right? You have a relationship with a person, then they personally do it. You don't have a relationship, their people do it. Right? You go to you're a friend of the guy, you go to his office and you have some work to do, he personally gets it done. You don't know the guy, you go stand in line like everybody else. And the people will do it. The man won't do it. So that's how it works. So because one's a grihastha, then one is licensed to engage a certain realm of activities in connection to Krishna. But unless you engage them, you don't get the benefit. That's all. So being in that situation, it reduces the probability, because you know you've gone from, as a brahmachari, you know, a very few needs and desires to a grihastha that has a whole, you know, truckload full. So it reduces the possibility. But if you engage it, then there's no difference. Right? In other words, it would be like this. Let us say you wanted to, you know, remember the deities. Okay? So now, we have two situations. One sitting right in front of the temple, right? And the other would be, you know, out in the backfield there, you know, where, you know, all kinds of things are going on. So which is better? Just which naturally works better? Right? Being in the temple. But it doesn't mean that out in the field you can't be just as conscious. But the situation, so that's when it says the brahmachari is 50% back to Godhead, the grihastha has a 25% chance. That means the situation is not as ideal. But you engage it, it's just as good, there's no difference. But it's up to you, it's not automatic. So all this nice, you know, how you say it? The brahmachari is focusing on, oh, it's a bad situation. No, it's not the ideal, but if you have all these needs, then there's no better situation to put yourself in. Otherwise, how else are you going to engage them? So it, for that person, individual, it's a better situation. But as a situation, it's not ideal. But the brahmachari is not seeing it like this. He's just, you know, seeing it from his own mundane perspective. And the grihastha is, you know, what's their trip, this, that, we're just being honest. Point is no, in reality, it is not the better situation. It is the least of all the four ashrams to be in. It's the least best. Because there's so many distractions, there's everything from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, there's something to distract you from Krishna consciousness. You know what I'm saying? But the point is if you're already distracted, then better you're in that ashram. If the brahmachari already is distracted by those things, better to be able to interact with them and engage them. Because unless without interaction, how do you get a result? You know what I'm saying? You don't get a result unless there's an interaction. Does that make sense? That's the point. So when the need is there, it's the best situation to be in. But the point is it doesn't mean that the situation itself is less. It's you have the greater opportunity to engage these things in Krishna's service, but unless you engage, if you engage them, it's no different than any other ashram. But if you don't engage them, then the situation is much worse than being in another one. Right? Does that make sense? So one can see is all this common banter that goes on between the brahmacharis and the grihasthas and the temples and the communities basically is mostly mundane. It's based on some point that Prabhupada made, but their principle of how they're applying it is pretty mundane. Point is there's ideal situations, there's less ideal, and depending upon who you're dealing with in this situation, it changes. Like that. And so if one can't make that discrimination, better not to make a comment. And if you want to make a comment, then hey, then you'll get the reaction. Does that make sense? Okay, so now you definitely... Alright, is that so? End here. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.